This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
What is good, everybody, on this July 4th weekend? You got Bart Scott on one side, your boy Freddie Coleman on the other side, and for Alan Hahn, presented by Progressive Insurance and ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and your smart speaker. 10 minutes away from a former NBA player and three-point shooting champion on what he thinks of all of this involving KD, Kyrie, and all the drama that KD requests a trade from the Brooklyn Nets that comes your way in about 10 minutes. And I put this out there, Bart, in terms of if Kevin Durant gets his wish to go to the Phoenix Suns, because that is the team that's high on his list of teams that he wants to be traded to from the Brooklyn Nets. I wonder how much of that has to do with the fact that, man, I left Golden State. They won a championship without me. I'm going to go to Phoenix and show those dudes, this is what you've missed by me going to the Brooklyn Nets, and I'm here to make sure you understand exactly who I'm always going to be when it comes to Kevin Durant.
Right, yeah, like y'all want to try and bury me because they won a championship before me. Okay. Y'all looking for me? Here I go. Y'all want some? Come get some. Guess what? I'm gonna go ahead and show you that team that y'all say gonna win the next 3 out of 4. Oh yeah, they ain't winning nothing because I'm here and I change everything. I'm the unicorn. I'm that guy. So the brick, you won't get no love over here while I'm here. And guess what? Curry, it's a wrap, baby, because I'm here. So me and CP3 and Devin Booker about to put in work.
You can put in that work, but you know for a fact that guys like Steph, guys like Klay,
I get that.
Guys like Dre, I think they would welcome that challenge because they respect Kevin Durant, but they would welcome that challenge and say, hey, we beat you in the playoffs before when you were younger.
Yo, it's levels. He become a man since then. And they listen.
And so have they.
No. Outside of Curry.
Okay.
Klay's not the player that he used to be.
All right.
Draymond's not the player that he used to be. Kevin Durant is arguably better than he used to be.
I get that.
So okay, y'all beat me when I was learning how to win, and now I know how to win, and now you put me with a guy that's hungry for a championship, like Chris Paul, a guy who was underwhelmed, and Devin Booker. Oh, man, these are superstars that's on their way up, I'm aligning with them.
Yeah, but here's the deal with that. Klay's going to be better in this next coming season, a year removed from that injury.
He ain't even in his best day, he ain't checking Kevin Durant. Wiggins on him?
No, no one's checking Kevin Durant, but yeah, you can put Wiggins on him, make him work for it from that standpoint. Kevin's getting his.
He ain't working for nothing.
I disagree. Here's why. Kevin Durant's going to get his. Guys like him, and you know this, they're going to have they say it's when and how he can get his, and that team structure is going to make him work a lot harder for that. As an older player,
here's the problem. He ain't by himself. He arguably got a superstar next to him, so that's the difference, right? Like, you can say, okay, well, Luka's gonna get his, we'll let the other people beat you. Devin Booker can beat you. The difference.
But he had Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City.
No, he had Westbrook, and Westbrook ain't never been able to play the game like Devin Booker.
But
and
I understand a superstar.
No. It's levels, right? It's not about the superstar. It's about the way that their games complement each other. Because Devin Booker is a guy that he doesn't have to be like the Brody, where he doesn't have to go in and you can put a picket fence in front of him and then deter him from being able to be great. Devin Booker can shoot the three at a high clip, and he can penetrate and get to the basket. That's different than what Westbrook brings to the table.
Fair.
Westbrook is a different, easy type of beast. It's like, okay, well, we're going against Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. Okay, we can't stop Joel, but whenever Simmons gets it, let's just pack the paint, and he won't be able to do anything. It's like Giannis used to be, and then Giannis had to evolve his game to make him unstoppable. So now you have arguably two unguardable players on one team. Even when you go to Golden State, they have one unguardable player. Not two. If Kevin Durant goes to Phoenix, they will have two unguardable players that can get hot and carry a team by itself, and together they'll be like Batman. I can't even say Batman and Robin, because Robin would be a disrespectful term to use for Devin Booker. I say Batman and R-Man.
Fair. But look at this. You mentioned Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, but Golden State's going to have Andrew Wiggins, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Jordan Poole.
Oh, that's
those
not
guys
better.
Can get there. I tell you what, in a 7-game series and wearing down Kevin Durant, Devin Booker have to do anything because Chris Paul's an aging player. You can't really rely on him to be a part of a big three with the Phoenix Suns compared to those four guys and they bring to the table. And James Wiseman and Jonathan Kuminga, they can throw bodies at Phoenix a lot more than Phoenix can throw bodies at them.
What about Bridges?
Mikal Bridges is not, he doesn't have the athleticism in terms of what a guy like James Wiseman is going to bring to the table or Jonathan Kuminga is going to bring to the table. Jordan Poole's a more proven scorer than Mikal Bridges. We've seen that off the bench with him.
But this was a team that had the best record in the NBA last year. So you mean to tell me that we're not gonna give DeAndre Ayton any credit? You don't think?
Who's to say he's going to be there?
Who's to say Looney's going to be there?
Yeah, well, Looney, put it this way.
Who says that Wiseman can stay healthy?
Yeah, well, we don't know. Wiseman hasn't been on a basketball court yet. But I'll trust a 19, 20-year-old being a lot healthier than a guy like DeAndre Ayton, who they don't want there anymore. And he doesn't want to be there anymore.
No, they don't want to give him $40 million a year. That's the problem. But I think if they allow him to test the market, he'll realize that his number is, unless you're Jokic or Joel Embiid, is going to be $30 million and less. It's not going to be the $40 million. And I think once he realizes that, he'll say, you know what, I'm okay.
Okay, put it this way. I don't think DeAndre Ayton's a $30 million per year player. I know the market
says. But he believes
says,
he does, right.
But see, the market's going to dictate that he's not $30 million per year. DeAndre Ayton's a nice player. He ain't $30 million per year nice at the center position. He isn't to me.
Right. So, I mean, listen. I can't wait to talk to the old knucklehead, because I'm telling you what, man. I think the easiest way, and Brooklyn might not want to do it.
Yeah.
But Kevin Durant from Jaylen Brown and Grant Williams is too easy.
And some draft picks as well. You got to give him
two draft picks. It's too easy. It's too easy. Ndoka knows Kevin Durant. He coached him. He was on that staff. You talk about two wings, you know, that gave the league problems last year, and Tatum and Brown, and you put an alpha male, and Kevin doesn't have to be the alpha male, because Smart is the alpha male.
And plus, Kevin Durant has shown that A, he doesn't want to be, B, he doesn't want to be.
So Smart, Robert Williams, Jason Tatum, Kevin Durant. Come on, son. Like, ain't nobody stopping that.
What about Milwaukee?
Ain't nobody stopping that.
What about Milwaukee? Giannis?
And Giannis ain't stopping that because now Middleton got to check Kevin Durant.
Well,
good luck
Giannis
with that.
Can check Kevin Durant, and Middleton can check Jason Tatum. Okay. But Bobby Portis can do it.
Good luck with – hold on. Portis ain't got the lateral movement for that.
Well, he's got the length to bother him. Believe me, I'm not saying that no superstars don't get stopped in the NBA. We all know that. But it's when you allow them to make their impact. Prime example, the Golden State Warriors in the series against Boston. They were able to minimize the impact of Steph Curry until game four, and then he had his say. Jason Tatum had an earlier impact in game but didn't shoot the ball well, but he impacted the game with 13 points and 14 assists. Then he minimized his impact. Superstars are going to get theirs. It's how they get it and when they get it that determines who's going to do what and how they're going to be able to make that work when it comes to winning a championship, no matter where Kevin Durant is going to go. Bart Scott, Freddie Coleman, in for Alan Hahn, Barton Hahn, and ESPN Radio. Don't forget to tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast. Bring your deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. Presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and view ESPN Daily. Available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. I know you guys have plenty to say about Kevin Durant and his exit from Brooklyn and super teams collapsing. We'll get to more of your calls in a few minutes at 888-729-3776. But let's bring in a man who is a friend of the show. He's an FOS. He's Quinn Richardson, three-point shooting champion, played more than 15 years in the NBA. Now he's part of a great podcast as a co-host of the Knuckleheads podcast on the Players Tribune. Q, I'm going to let Bart start off his scenario in terms of what teams should really be in the mix with Kevin Durant and how that could change the Eastern Conference. Bart, you go ahead.
Well, I just think the simplest trade to make sure that Brooklyn can get a star return is just to send Kevin Durant to the Boston Celtics for Jaylen Brown and maybe Grant Williams. And I think, you know, that's proper compensation. That gives the Brooklyn Nets a superstar in return. And let's see what they can get back for Kyrie Irving, and then they can maybe start building around a young core when you think about Jaylen Brown and you think about also Ben Simmons maybe playing with each other and maybe being able to get some more assets and some future first-round draft picks. That's the easiest way. I don't see any other place that he goes where they can get a young superstar that can maybe not ever be as good as Kevin Durant, but that can be a perennial all-star like Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about this, man. I don't think it's going to be a head-up type situation. I think it's going to be at least one extra team involved in it. So, I mean, when these type of scenarios go down and somebody, you know, at the top of the game, you know, KD is a you know, best player in the world candidate right now. You know what I'm saying? When healthy, everybody knows. So, I mean, feel locked in the 4 years, man, this is going to be – I feel like this is going to be like a crazy one of those landmark deals. We've got picks, players, and all of that type of stuff, teams, and it's going to be a big deal.
What really happened, in your opinion, why Kevin Durant finally decided now is the time to not be around Kyrie Irving and to move on from that?
I don't think we still really know that that was the move he made, like, actually to move away from Kyrie or not. I mean, we don't know that. I think it was obvious, and one thing that's evident is that he wanted out of Brooklyn. He didn't see that situation going the way that he had, you know, thought it would go, and didn't think, I guess he didn't see, you know, believing in it anymore.
Here's why I think it was about. Here's why I think it was about Kyrie Irving, because he just saw Kyrie Irving, how loyal Kevin Durant had been to Kyrie Irving, coming here, you know, basically signing off on everything he wanted to do. He said that he liked, you know, Kenny Atkinson, and then, you know, Kyrie said he wanted Nash, and he wanted to be, anybody can coach the team. And then you look up, and now he's trying to find a way to get out of here. He's calling LeBron, trying to make up with his ex. And I'm sure Kevin Durant, like, yo, hold up. Like, you're just trying to find a way to get away from me. I guess what? I'm going to leave you before you can leave me, because he knew once he signed that one-year deal, next year he was going to be a free agent, and he'll be able to just walk right to L.A. because the Brody will fall off the books. So Kevin Durant was like, you know what? I'm out, man. I'm not putting up with this. I'd rather go somewhere. I got 4 years left on my contract. I'm trying to cement my legacy, one or two more championships, and this place is a mess. If Kyrie's run amok and changed the culture around there that bad, where he's doing practices after the coach has a practice, he thinks he's part of management. Nah, I got to roll out, man. I can't put up with this, just like James Harden said.
I mean, that's one way for, you know, for us without, it's not in the know to interpret it. I would fall short of trying to say what's going on, because from what I've seen, we really just outside looking in. Now, I don't know if KD and Kyrie are still tight or not, but I mean, the one thing that we do know is, like, Kyrie wanted out of there. Now, KD is publicly requested to be out of there. And I think, you know, it'll be maybe on one of their podcasts. Maybe we'll get them on our knuckleheads to tell the real story.
Please, dude. Can you get your bookers to go ahead and get them, man?
Yeah, I mean, until I hear from them, I would reserve that statement, because this has been a wild, wild situation.
Yeah, make sure if you get them on a podcast, get them some yak before y'all start. You know what I'm saying?
Quentin Richardson.
I want the truth.
I know, Quentin.
You can't handle the truth.
Quentin Richardson, co-host of the Knuckleheads podcast and the Players Tribune, joining Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. Which team, in your opinion, is a better fit for Kevin Durant and his wish list? Is it Phoenix or is it Miami?
For me, I mean, I'm biased. I'm a, you know, I, both of those are former teams of mine, but I mean, just in terms of, you know, what I experienced in Miami and knowing, you know, they got Jimmy, they got Bam, and I feel like I'm a, you know, knowing what I know about Coach Spo and Pat Riley and the way that organization is going to line things up to, like, when they have a chance to strike at a championship, they go all out. They go all in and do whatever needs to be done. So, I mean, I would, you know, just me, I would say Miami right off the top. But, I mean, we're looking at the team, not knowing what would be left over when they got back, because they got Chris Paul, Booker, and KD. I mean, obviously, that's a championship waiting to happen as well. So I think either situation would be great. But I just think the discipline and everything that goes on there in Miami, I like that.
Well, Monty Williams is reportedly like a mentor, Kevin Durant, or they're supposed to have some type of relationship. But when you think about it, what team can offer the best assets to give back and still have a championship team? You know, me and Freddie was talking about maybe this is a way, if he goes out to Phoenix, for him to exercise all the ghosts, because he can beat that team in Golden State that people believe is maybe a little bit better and didn't need him. He was a part of it. But, you know, if he goes out, he beats Curry at the height of his superpowers, and he's the height of his superpowers, then he can dispel all those, you know, narratives that was written about him leaving Golden State or running to Golden State.
Yeah, I think we make more of it. I mean, we being the media make more of it than either of those guys do. I don't think either of them care about that narrative. And I think if there comes a time where they play each other and KD gets to, you know, try and take them down, he will. But I don't think it's a motivation of his, like, choosing what team he's going to go to.
When I say Kevin Durant, and I don't think he has to be an alpha male, because you can be the best player in the team, Q, but you don't have to be the leader. You don't have to be an alpha male. How much of that people are trying to put that on him, that he's resistant because he may not be comfortable doing something like that?
I don't know, man. I don't look at it. You know, I think individuals are who they are. You know, I think KD is an out-of-this-world talent, and he's on whatever team he goes to, he's going to be the best guy on that team because he's that good. So So, I mean, as far as, like, all the leadership things and that, some people lead different. Some people lead by the way they go in and they put in their work, and they don't say a whole lot. So, I mean, I've never been his teammate, and I can't speak to that. But to have that narrative going around that he's not the leader or he's not this or he's not that, I think is, you know, until you've seen and you've observed, you don't, you know, everybody wants him to say things and say things the way they want. But my reality being on teams is that's not how everybody works. People work the way they are, and they are the way they are.
You know, when you look at free agency and look at all the money that's been put out there, man, I think it's tremendous. But do you think because of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving's situation that, you know, when the CBA comes up, that these owners are going to start to change the CBA? Are you thinking that the players are in for the fight of their life in the next collective bargaining agreement? Because we watched Ben Simmons force his way out. Kevin Durant, after signing a four-year deal, is kind of forcing his way out. How do you think this is going to affect the CBA and the future of the game?
I wouldn't be surprised if they come in and they start gunning for some of those things, just for, like you said, by the way things have gone and guys are fully under contract for 4 or 5 years, 3 or 4 years, and forcing their way out. And then, you know, you force the reset or basically react to that. And you, as an owner, as a front office, and you might have to reset your organization or blow it up. So I could absolutely see that happening whenever the next collective bargaining agreement happens.
Hey, Q, always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. Enjoy the holiday weekend. Be safe. We'll holler at you soon.
Make sure you got some white, too, yes, just sir. In case they don't drink that brown.
Oh, jeez.
I got you.
Quentin Richardson, co-host of the Knuckleheads podcast on the Players Tribune, a man who played 15 seasons in the NBA, joining us here on Bart Hahn on ESPN Radio, Series XM Channel 80, the ESPN app, and your smart speaker. Always hit us on Twitter, Bart's handle, BartScott57, my handle at ColemanESPN. A couple of people want to weigh in about the Brooklyn Nets and why it went bad when it comes to Kevin Durant pushing for a trade at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Trotsky in Alabama, it's your turn.
Hey, how you doing, fellas? Hey, on this Kevin Durant situation, just hear me out right quick, okay? Jerry Krause was ahead of his game, because when he hired Phil Jackson, Michael didn't want Phil originally. And what I think, Marks, I think, should get a lot of the blame, because he gave KD everything he wanted instead of everything he needed. And what KD needed was an established coach. What do y'all think about that, fellas?
Well, he gave Kyrie everything that he wanted, because Kyrie was the instrument that brought Kevin Durant. So he felt like, hey, we had to give Kyrie power because he's the one. Because they thought they were going to the Knicks. And Kyrie decided, no, on the late pivot. Remember, because they had DeAndre Jordan, who was kind of like instrumental in everything. He was playing with the Knicks at the time, and he's like the best friend of those guys. And he was like, man, no, we should go, you know, and they decided to go to the Nets instead of the Knicks. So that was really why I feel like they gave Kyrie such a voice, yep. Because he was the person that was to bring the white whale, you know what I mean, to New Jersey, which is supposed to turn and change the narrative.
Kenny Atkinson was the coach there, and Kyrie.
He was an established coach.
And Kyrie didn't want him.
And Kevin Durant loved him. Because Kevin Durant was talking about, yeah, mm-hmm. I've been watching film. I'm a fan.
Right.
All that stuff. And then it was like, what? Wait. Yeah, gone.
Because Kenny Atkinson wanted to play Jared Allen, a much better player than DeAndre Jordan. And
yep.
Kyrie went to the manager and said, a word. And then the next thing you know, Kenny Atkinson's out of a job. And they brought in somebody who's a puppet ruler. Nothing against Steve Nash.
Yeah.
Great basketball player.
Never coached a day in his life.
Right. But you don't have to coach a day in your life, but you better have some kind of backbone.
Yeah.
That's why they didn't want Kenny Atkinson, because Kenny Atkinson was going to stand up to a
and
guy like Kyrie
practice.
Irving. Right. Make him practice. Make him be accountable. Kyrie wanted to run things the way he wanted to run them, and the Brooklyn Nets acquiesced to him. And look what they wound up getting. They're going to have to wind up from moving on from both of these guys.
End up with nothing. That's why you don't sell your soul.
Well, if you're going to sell your soul, make sure the price you get in return is going to be worth it from that standpoint. Styles in North Carolina, what you got to say?
Hey, hello?
Hey, go ahead, Styles. We got you.
Oh, sorry.
No problem.
Hey, picking this show. I miss you at night, Freddie. But
thanks, brother.
I want to talk to Kyrie right quick. I know you got to be tired of the media. I know you got to be tired of everybody dogging you, and some of it's rightfully so, but you want to get some of that back, this is what you do. I got the recipe. You get out of the you take a small buyout, or even and take a league exception to go to the Bucks. That way you play with an alpha, you play for a good coach, and you win a championship, and you get all that respect back.
I
that's all
Matt,
I got there.
How are they going to fit Like, because at the end of the day, I think Kyrie's going to be used as a chip. They're not doing Kyrie any favors because Kyrie's the reason why they're losing. They lost James Harden and the reason why they lost Kevin Durant. So what I'm doing is if I'm them, he's going to be part of a deal. He's going to have to go somewhere and play a place that he doesn't want to play. Mm-hmm. Much like Iguodala had went and said, hey, you're going to be a free agent next year, and somebody's going to buy out your expiring contract. So we need a team like OKC, or we need a team like the Pistons don't have any salary cap space, a team like the Magic, somebody like that to be able to absorb your salary cap space and maybe not let you play and maybe buy you out. But I wouldn't do him any favors. I would put him on the contract and make him somebody eat that, because he's going to have to be part of a three-team trade. So he's going to be used that way because somebody's going to dump some salary and trying to grab an expiring contract.
Let's get to the skinny of the deal when it comes to Kyrie Irving, even though he's only 30 years of age, but he's been in the NBA for 11 years. If you're a team that has any kind of championship aspirations, why would you try to swing a deal for him?
Yeah.
Why would you bring a guy like that that will completely sabotage?
Well, if you're Los Angeles, you got the Brody, and if somebody's going to take the Brody off your hands and be able to swap, you can swap those salaries, $47 million to $37 million. And like, just to say Brooklyn's able to mm-hmm. – well, but the problem is – the Lakers ain't got no draft picks.
They don't have any draft picks.
So we switch that, and you ain't got nothing to give me.
Right, and not for nothing. If you're LeBron James, do you really want a Ben Affleck, Jennifer Lopez situation again with Kyrie Irving? Do you really want a backslide like that if you're LeBron James?
Yeah, because LeBrick is that bad. I mean, Westbrook is that bad.
Take Westbrook out of the equation. Do you really want to deal with what Boston and Brooklyn have?
Well, for one year, because he know he can control. He's maybe the one person who can, Kyrie has to be on his best behavior. Okay, would you rather have Kyrie or Westbrook?
No, I'd rather have Kyrie in
terms of a
basketball player.
You only got to deal with him for 1 year. He has to try and be on his best behavior so that he can get a max contract next year from somewhere or some.
Do you actually think Kyrie's going to be on his best behavior? Do you actually think LeBron can make him get on his best behavior for one year?
Well, I think he'll be available. Well, that's what I'm saying. I think he'll play. Okay. That's the issue. The problem here is he didn't play. And he gave us all these other reasons why he didn't play. And then that's the problem. He left his guy out there all by himself. Like, you need somebody out there that can take some pressure off of LeBron, because LeBron isn't getting any younger. And you need somebody out there that can handle the ball and facilitate the offense. And Kyrie can do that. And so if I got to pick between the lesser two evils, I'd rather go if I can figure out a way to get rid of Westbrook and be able to get Kyrie Irving out there. I know he has the skill set to help me win a championship. Even you know what I mean? Because with Westbrook playing at his best, I don't think they're a championship contender, because his game doesn't mesh well with LeBron James, because he has to be ball dominant. That's LeBron James.
I think Darvin Ham is the head coach. I would much rather trust him making Russell Westbrook be more of a team player than Kyrie Irving convincing Kyrie Irving that he could be a team player. Either way, we'll see what happens. Either way.
One way or the other. No doubt.
He's Bart Scott. I'm Freddie Cohen. Thanks for joining us on Bart Hahn, presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80 in your smart speaker. You have some interesting trade suggestions for Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. We'll get to those and you coming up at 888-729-3776. Keep it here. Your calls are next.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 8, as well as your smart speaker. They want you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people can trust, like you. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. So where should Kevin Durant go? What kind of trade scenario do you have? Bart Scott's already put one out there. He says, man, if I'm the Boston Celtics, I find a way to move on from Jaylen Brown, a little Grant Williams, a couple of draft picks. You bring in Kevin Durant, now you got him, Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart.
Al Horford.
You got some things that you can do in the Eastern Conference. It's time for you to speak on these trade scenarios involving Kevin Durant, who wants out of Brooklyn, at 888-729-3776. Dana in Virginia, what's your next trade idea involving KD?
I'm going down as the new GM for the Lakers. Bart, you ain't going to like this because I know you don't want to see LeBrick get not one championship, but two. But he's going to get two after I make this trade. Three-team trade. Two L.A. teams in Brooklyn. We're going to get rid of KD, Kyrie, they're gone. The Lakers going to get rid of street clothes, Westbrook, and whatever other players that Brooklyn want. And the Clippers going to give up Paul George. We got KD and Paul George going to the Lakers. We got Kyrie going to the Clippers. And we got street clothes and Westbrook and whatever player Brooklyn want going to Brooklyn. And I go down as the GM of the Lakers for the other year.
I mean, I like, you know, Anthony Davis leaving and coming. I mean, that's a building block. And, you know, Ballmer loves Paul. I think Ballmer loves what he has.
Oh, yeah.
I think Ballmer loves Reggie Jackson kind of coming off. He loves Paul George. And remember, Kawhi wanted and chose to play with Paul George and got him to leave, you know, Westbrook to go to the Clippers. And Kawhi said, you know, if Kawhi wanted to play with Paul George and not go play with LeBron, I don't see in turn how you take that from the claw if you're Ballmer. You know, then now you got a Kawhi problem because Kawhi might palm the whole head of Uncle Drew and throw him somewhere.
And he'll do it quietly because he doesn't make a lot of noise.
Just suck his head up.
Believe me. You'll see it, but you won't hear it because he's not going to let it be known what he's going to do. So like Kevin Durant, when a week earlier, we didn't think this was going to happen. A week later, here we are. Justin in Los Angeles, what is your trade scenario involving Kevin Durant getting out of Brooklyn?
Well, I know you guys said that Kawhi picked Paul George, but before Kawhi picked Paul George, he actually wanted to team up with Durant in L.A., but Durant was already committed to Kyrie in Brooklyn. So just like the other caller, but Paul George and something else for KD.
Okay, I can see that.
Me too.
I can see that. Like, I don't think Kyrie, I mean, you know, you got an alpha male and Kawhi. I mean, that could work, but it's going to take a lot more than that than to get Kevin Durant. And I know Ballmer would pay whatever luxury tax he had to pay to get it done. You know what I mean? So I'm not worried about that. So I can see that. Okay, I like that one. What else we got?
Yeah, there was some thought into that. I'm with you on that one. Little man in Virginia, what is your best spot for Kevin Durant going forward?
Who's this, Marlon Wayans?
Little man in Virginia, what you got?
You got to turn your radio down, son. He on a delay.
Yeah, he's on a delay. So since he's on a delay, we're going to move to Tyron in Connecticut. Tyron in Connecticut, what is your trade idea for Kevin Durant going forward?
How you guys doing? As the GM of the Chicago Bulls, I'm sending three first-round picks, Dalen Terry, Kobe White, Patrick Williams, and Tony Bradley, and Vucevic.
Wow, eight players.
Why do you think we want Vucevic?
He can play.
Yeah, but we don't want no – listen, we playing a wide-open game. We cut from the D'Antoni cloth. We don't need no big man. We want wings. We want shooters. We want athletes.
If you want wings, you better get some chicken wings. But right. You don't pass on Vucevic. That may be the one guy that can actually score in that whole deal.
Yeah, but, yeah, you got to give me something different than that. I mean, you can't give me Zach LaVine because he just
has
all that money. Mm-hmm. But you can go ahead and give me DeMar DeRozan and add DeMar DeRozan to that. Then we might be cooking in Vucevic.
That's a haul, though. Eight players.
No, just give me DeMar DeRozan and Vucevic.
Just switch them out. Just those two. That's it.
No. I need a bunch of draft picks.
I was going to say.
And Pat White, three players and two first round draft picks. We got to do.
Okay, Don in Dallas, give it up when it comes to KD and his future. When it comes to leaving the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, I didn't have a trade deal, but I want to just by Bart and see what he think here. Everybody keeps saying that
Golden State beat Kevin Durant and them in OKC. But do anybody remember OKC was up 3-1,
yep.
And then game five, like third quarter, the camera pan on Kevin Durant on the bench, and they reported that Kevin Durant would love to go play with Golden State Warriors because he loved the way they played and all that.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he couldn't play no more. And then Draymond Green said as soon as he saw that, he texted KD, hey, let's make this happen. So I think he gave that series away to go play with them. That's what I had a problem with. So, Bart, one of your receivers say, hey, I'll let it go play with the opposing team in the playoffs, and he's getting alligator arms, you would have a problem with that?
I mean, if that's the case, why would he go all the way to 3-1? They went up 3-1. So it's not like, you know what I mean, he didn't put in the work to get him there. I just think, you know, they ran into a team that made the necessary adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes momentum is a crazy thing. And they couldn't get it back. And it's, you know, what happened to Westbrook? I think, if I remember correctly, I think Harden didn't show up for one game. You know what I mean?
And not for nothing, game six, Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
No one was stopping him. Steph got out of his way and let Klay get him to game seven. Then Steph and Dre and the rest of those guys did their thing, overcoming that 3-1 series lead. He is Bart Scott and Freddie coming in for Alan Hahn on Bart and Hahn and ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, 6XM Channel 80, as well as your smart speaker. We had a debate about Kevin Durant and his future outside of Brooklyn. A better debate is about to begin, and you're going to be glad of it. That's next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart Scott and Freddie coming in for Alan Hahn. It's Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and your smart speaker. Oh, the trade ideas are coming in fast and furious when it comes to Kevin Durant moving on from Brooklyn at 888-729-3776. Wayne in New York, what is your trade idea?
Good afternoon, guys. Happy holidays coming up.
You too?
There is no way that I'm sending Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant to the same team. And what you want to try to do is you want to try to get value for what you have, and you also want to try to rebuild a team. So here's what I would do. I would send Kyrie Irving to the Houston Rockets and get Jalen Green, get Eric Gordon, get that center, Seguin, who's a great rookie, I mean great center, and get a whole bunch of draft picks. Then I would send Kevin Durant to the only team really that can really afford his salary and get talent back, and that's Sacramento, and get De'Aaron Fox and get Sabonis and also draft picks. This way, the Nets will have De'Aaron Fox, they'll have Jalen Green, they'll have the centers again, they'll have draft picks in order to rebuild the team. And then the last thing I would do is I would give Steve Nash a nice little parting gift, and I would rehire Kenny Atkinson. The Brooklyn Nets would be back on the map within 3 years if they did that.
Yeah, but why would Houston give up Jalen Green when Kyrie's on an expiring contract? And you know he's not going to re-sign with you because he's not going to stay around for that. He's going to run to L.A. next year.
That's true. However, you know how teams are when they want to try to win a championship and they know that Kyrie is sitting there. Teams are going to be going to the Houston Rockets in order to make deals for him. They're going to. They're not going to just let that man sit there. And so it won't be. Basically, what I'm trying to do is this. I'm trying to get rid of this headache, all right, which is going to be Kyrie Irving, and I need to start as soon as possible. That's not my problem. Why Kyrie Irving would go to Houston? I'm saying Houston is the type of gullible team that would make this type of deal.
So you saying they some fools? They dumb enough to fall for it?
Yeah,
they just had a great draft. Mm-hmm. And they have a young team. They got rid of Woods because they want young players around. They're trying to shop Eric Gordon. So I just don't see them doing that. They got too many young players.
Yeah, unless they think Kyrie Irving's going to change his stripes.
And do what? And win what?
That's a great question, which means he ain't changing anytime soon, anytime later.
Bart and Han.
Oh, okay.
None says barbecue than a little Maze and Frankie Beverly here.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Let that roll. That, you got to ride that a little bit.
I'm letting it go to Frankie Beverly. He starts opening his mouth. He's going to do that in 3, 2, and 1.
You make me happy. Ooh. Oh, that felt good. You can go skating with this, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Sophomore skate party. Yeah. Long Island City High School, 1980.
Yeah, man.
Barton Hahn and ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Get a business insurance quote online in as little as 6 minutes. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. We talk about barbecue music and backyard music. Yeah. We started this yesterday. We figured we'd wait until today to get into this whole 4th of July weekend and barbecue debate, which means I'm going to bring Stassi and our producer in on this because you and him are having a spirited battle back and forth. And I joined in and got in the middle of all this barbecue in terms of who makes the better barbecue and what makes a great barbecue. So, Bart, you can start off. Stas, you get in the middle of this, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Well, listen, I definitely like St. Louis baby back ribs, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I can go with some St. Louis ribs, you know what I mean? I'm going to go every place except for Kansas City because I think that's the most overblown barbecue in the country. You know what I mean? I even like, South Carolina and their vinegar-based type of sauces, you know what I mean? I go there and then Memphis with the dry rubs. If I feel like I feel like Kansas City's coming up like third or maybe third, fourth or fifth.
Good grief.
I mean, because you can go to Texas and talk about those rib tips, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Them good old brisket tips, you know what I mean? And those gangster too.
So to me, it is the sauce. Like, the sauce, to me, is a big part of what makes the barbecue what it is. Now, I would tell you, dry rub's okay. Not really that into it. Yeah. Freddie actually introduced me. I don't know if he remembers or not, but he went to South Carolina a while back and brought me back some of the a mustard base, right?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes, my God. Indeed. That opened my doors like a whole new world to me. Mm-hmm. But, man, there ain't nothing. Let me say it again. Nothing. The Kansas City barbecue. The sauce is, oh, my God. Shout out to Joe's.
Is it vinegar base? Is it vinegar based? What kind of?
No, it's not vinegar based. Not Kansas City.
No. Is it some brown sugar? Some brown sugar up in that thing? What makes a great sauce?
Little of everything, baby.
Mm-hmm. Believe me, as somebody who's had plenty of barbecue, whether it's been North Carolina, South Carolina, Texas, Memphis, St. Louis, Kansas City, brisket, you name it, from that standpoint, I've always been a big believer that it's not so much the barbecue, it's who's making it. Because the last thing you need is somebody messing up good barbecue. And I've been to a couple of barbecue places that I'm not going to mention because friends of mine own these places. Mm. That their barbecue is not exactly the best barbecue, and I won't frequent their place.
And for anybody listening in Kansas City, I will just say Joe's is better than Gates.
See, now I haven't gotten that opportunity yet, but I will. Coming to find out what the fuss is when it comes to Joe's.
When you got the brisket, man, I like a nice apricot type of crust over it, man. Yeah. I like to see it like caramelized on top, man. Got that nice little chew, nice little bark on the top. You know what I'm saying? When you cut it, you see the little bark on it. You know what I mean? Maybe like a centimeter, 2, 3, 4 millimeters thick. You know what I mean? So when you bite into it, you get that sweetness that's been cooked down, man. Take you about 5 or 6 hours on that roasting on that brisket. You know what I mean? Probably about like 200 degrees. But you take some of that apricot preserve, put it on that thing, and just let it sit in there, soak in there for about 25 to 35 hours.
Okay, oh, boy, you are a burnt ends kind of barbecue guy, or how do you like it made?
First of all, brisket is the best, but I like burnt ends. You know what I mean? That's cool because I feel like you can cut those up into little cubes, and then you take that sauce that you like, and now you just got like those are like little finger food. You know what I mean? Right. They're like finger food. You just pop them in your mouth, all good.
Okay, Stash, how about you?
I just need a rack of ribs or some pork, pulled pork.
Oh, pulled pork. There we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, either way.
Pulled pork over brisket?
Yeah, I'd say so.
See, I'm kind of 50-50 on that because you give me a good brisket, for example, Bear Steakhouse in Hartford, Connecticut, their brisket is always, always on point. Always.
Now, okay, what's the go-to? Okay, you got your barbecue.
Yeah.
If you have to have one side and one side only, what's that side that goes with barbecue, hot barbecue?
Macaroni and cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Not even open for discussion.
Grandma's macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, exactly. That's not even open. Either my wife Denise's macaroni and cheese or my mother Maddie Coleman's macaroni and cheese. But, yeah, that's not open for discussion.
What's how many cheeses?
Denise uses about three. My mom uses two, but my mom can make a great mac and cheese with just one the sharp cheddar cheese.
Okay, I need at least
eight.
Yeah, I need my eight cheeses, man. I need Gouda, Swiss, mozzarella, sharp cheddar, Jack.
I'm about to say you only have the five. Keep going. I know you got three more left in
Kobe
you.
Jack, and it's got to be made with that evaporated milk. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Condense it down and cook it down, man, nice and slow.
Yep.
Man, it should be like a soup, and then it all comes and cooks down and reduces at the top. Uh-huh. Then you got to burn the top of that thing. So when you get it, you got to cut through it.
Got to brown it.
And if your macaroni and cheese pan don't weigh at least 16 pounds, you ain't do something right.
By the way, close second to that, my Aunt Doris is candied yams. She made it one year with barbecue. And
That's different, though, because usually candied yams ain't used for barbecue because hot food on hot food.
Right, but she had made it as a side dish with the barbecue, and believe me, both disappeared in a hurry at her house.
See, this dish can be a great dish or it can be a disaster.
Yes.
But for me, no, I'm talking about for me, it's a potato salad.
Listen,
keep it simple.
Unpopular opinion, gross.
You're not a potato salad fan?
No.
Shoot.
Really? No.
Potato salad or deviled eggs? Because you need something cold. You need something cold.
Yeah.
You know, the baked beans is something gangster, too. You got to have baked beans with it. I need a half a bag of, maybe 2 pounds of brown sugar.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Up in there. I need some bacon or some type of cut up smoked meat up in that thing.
Man.
Or some sage sausage crumbled up in that thing. So when I eat it, I got a little meat in there, too.
Okay. So we talked about barbecue. Well, the Brooklyn Nets about the barbecue Kyrie Irving, whether he likes it or not, based on what's going to happen with Kevin Durant. That's next on Barton.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.